Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we're trying to get back to the fifth item in the list of qualities that the Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonian church are the way, the things that God wants us to do to walk before the world in a way that pleases God. And that's what we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 1. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you would abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. And he says in the next verse, I'll not read it, just paraphrase it. You remember that we gave you commandments regarding this when we were with you, and now I'm writing to you from a distance and reminding you of these things again. And then he lists five things. And number one is sexual purity. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's number one on the list. This is the way God wants us to walk, to behave, to conduct ourselves in this world, which in part at least indicates that which the world sees in us, see the behavior that the world will see from a Christian, whether they know what to expect or not. This is what they need to see. They need to see people who are living according to the biblical norms of sexual conduct, not according to the norms of the world. That's number one. What's number two? Drop down to verse 9, but concerning brotherly love. You have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So that becomes a second item, vitally important. For a Christian's testimony before the world, we ought to be demonstrating love to other believers, not contention, not infighting, not bickering, not hateful, not angry, not condescending, but gracious and kind and loving ought to be the characteristic that is seen by others, particularly by those who don't know the Lord, because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And I spent some time on the broadcast with that one yesterday, and I don't really want to go back to all of that again today, but it really needs to be emphasized. I could pound home on that one for another broadcast or two very profitably, because so many of God's people seem to have lost sight of this. It's hard to get the right balance when the Bible tells us that we ought to speak the truth in love. We've got Christians who basically are unwilling to speak the truth. Shame on you. You're called upon to do that. You are to defend the faith that once for all was delivered unto the saints. Contend is the word actually that is used, even stronger than defend. Contend, fight for the faith that once for all was delivered unto the saints. We are to fight for truth, defend truth, but in a loving, gracious, kind Christian way, not in a hateful, angry, fighting, contentious way. Speaking the truth in love. Oh, there are some who are unafraid, or who are afraid to contend for truth in case they be unloving, so they just never do it because they don't want to be unloving. And then there are people who are are contending for the faith, but they're doing it in a very unloving way. Speaking the truth in love. May God help us to get that right. That's so important. That's a very vital balance that we need to work hard at cultivating. But now I need to go on through the list, and I also need to pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, October 8 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of radio listeners, and you need to know that we are in need of some of that financial help at this time. But we move on now to number 3. What comes next? Verse 11. This is one that wouldn't be on most lists. I asked you a couple of broadcasts ago if I were to ask you, maybe in a group of Christians, to give to me what you think are the most important areas of behavior for a Christian's testimony before the world, I think I would probably get some that would say it is that we walk according to biblical norms of sexuality. Yes, that's important. Sexual purity. And I think we would probably get some that would say, yes, we are to love one another, and that's vitally important that we get that right. How many would say this one in verse 11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life? That's a mark of Christian behavior before the world, to lead a quiet life. And then it goes on to say, and to mind your own business, not be a busybody. That's an important one. I don't think that one would come up hardly at all. And then finally, and here's the one we've been driving to, number 5, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. A Christian work ethic, a willingness to work, a diligence in work. Christians should be known as people who are diligent in their work, who do work, are willing to work, and do a good job at work, are faithful in their work habits, in their work ethic. A wholesome biblical work ethic is a powerful testimony before the world. Or if we slack off, as so many people in this world do, some people work harder at avoiding work. They work so hard at avoiding work that if they worked half that hard at working, they'd be good workers. But again, that's the convoluted thinking that manifests our fallen nature, our sinful perspective on life. But Christians aren't to be that way. If a employer hires a Christian, he should expect that person to be a diligent, faithful, hardworking employer who gives him an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, as we sometimes say. That's the way it ought to be. And if it isn't, it hurts our Christian testimony. It's not just that we get by, but it's that Christ gets dishonored. So keep that in mind, that you work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. It connects it right back to this matter of our Christian testimony. And that you may lack nothing. So there are actually two reasons for this Christian work ethic. One is our Christian testimony, the respect of others, the respect of the community, that they may recognize that we have a different attitude toward work. Unbelievers, many, not all, but unbelievers often have the attitude, I'm going to try to get by with as little work as possible. And they are looking for ways to do that. We spot people like that. You go into if you go regularly into particular stores, public places, and get accustomed to the employees that work there and keep your eye on them, you're almost always going to find in a store that employs a good number of people, you're almost always going to be able eventually to pick out the man or woman who is busy trying to look busy but actually isn't doing anything. You know what I'm talking about. We all know people like that. You've got people like that on your job, no doubt. They have cultivated the art of looking busy, or they think they are. I don't think they fool people as much as they imagine they do. But they've cultivated the art of trying to look busy without actually doing anything. Shame, if you are a Christian, if that's the way you look at work. Work is something to be avoided. Work is something to get by with. Work is something to withhold yourself from as much as possible, to reserve your energies, to reserve your output so that you won't get too tired and you can have more energy and benefit for yourself. That's not the Christian attitude. One of the things that marks Christians out as Christians, one of the things that distinguishes Christians from other people in this world, is that Christians get to work and stay at work and give their job the full benefit of the hours that they're hired for and that they're being paid for. It's as simple as that. It's a matter of Christian testimony. It is a matter of community respect. But there's a second reason for this, and that is that you may lack nothing. In other words, that by your hard work, you provide for your own material needs. Now, that brings up, of course, a whole lot of things, and sometimes people will say, well, inflation has outpaced wages, and I'm working as hard as I can, maybe working overtime or working two jobs, and I still can't keep up with the pace of inflation, and I understand that. It's tough. Everybody's talking about it. How much more gasoline is today than it was a couple of years ago? How much more groceries are today than they were a couple of years ago? I saw something. I'm still wondering if this couldn't have been an exaggeration, but I saw it, and again, many weeks ago. But something that was posted online where it was said that somebody took an old receipt from a well-known grocery store chain for groceries that they had bought, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and they still had the receipt, had about 30 items on it. So just, and the amount that they'd paid for each one in the total, of course, on the receipt. So they went back to the same store and purchased exactly that same list of items, and the total came, and this is the part that I find astounding, but the total came to almost four times as much as what they'd paid 3 or 4 years ago. That sounds a bit too much to me. I don't think inflation has been quite that much. I don't think someone would go from paying $120 for this list of groceries to now paying $400 for the same list of groceries. But I think that's what was communicated on that particular post. But even if that's a bit of an exaggeration, I don't think anybody would be surprised if they said, I paid more than double today for the same list of groceries than I paid 2 or 3 years ago. More than double, maybe 2.5 times. I don't think that would surprise anyone because we're experiencing it. We know about that. It's tough. It's even with increased pay, which many people have experienced. Inflation tends to drive up costs of things, but it also tends to drive up wages as well. But the problem is that the wage increases don't keep up with the size of inflation. So some would question, if I do this and work hard, will I really be able to provide for myself? Well, the Bible indicates that you will, that God will enable you to do that. So let's take His word for it and go to work. Roll up our sweet leaves and go to work. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll take it up then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.